Welcome to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. This program is designed to teach and educate you about the history and the infallibility of God's holy word. We trust you'll find today's program challenging and encouraging. Your host, Bruce Musselman, combines many years' experience as a pastor, author, and conference speaker. Here now with today's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, once again, we're so glad to meet with you wherever you are all over the world. And I thank God people are listening almost. We get the report of people checking our website from practically every country in the world. And so we thank God for it. We pray about this. I ask you all to pray with us that God will use these words. I pray about these things, the things that I say on this program, that God will lead us and guide us. Now, the Bible says that we can look at the perfect law of liberty, and so we are to believe that we have a Bible that we can look at that is perfect. It's not, we don't believe that just the originals, which nobody has today and nobody knows what they say, is perfect, but it's something we can look at according to the book of James that is perfect. We can look at the perfect law of liberty. And the Lord Jesus said that in the Gospel of John, he says, I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me out of the world, for I have given them the words that thou hast given me. The people that have been saved, that God has given to Jesus, that are saved from all over the world, Jesus has given them the words. And so we have these words in the King James Bible, and they have been translated into many different languages. And so today we have the universal language, the English language, and God has given it to us. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. It's mentioned in three Gospels and many numbers of other places in the Bible. The word of God is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Now, Jesus makes this statement. He said, beware of the scribes. And the scribes were the ones that copied the scripture, but they also educated people in the scripture. And Jesus said, beware of them. That is, he said, watch out for them, because they could be telling you falsehood. And yet, in one place, the Bible says that Jesus sent scribes. So some of them are sent by God, but then there's others that we have to watch out for. And today, we have people on there attacking the King James. Now, there's many places in the Bible we know about the King James being the Word of God. We go to the Bible for salvation, to find out about salvation, about raising your children, about prophecy, about the end of the world, about prophecies concerning Jesus. But you mean to say God wouldn't tell us where his words are? Well, he has told us in many places, even in the corrupt Bibles, where his words are. And they're found in the King James Version of the Bible. King James Bible, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. And so the 400 translations come out, and they last about as long as the advertisement lasts, and then they just disappear. But this one is attacked for 100 years and just keeps right on going. And 1,000 churches take it as a standard and is the absolute truth. And then there is the majority of Christians that read the Bible over all the other translations that read it every day, read the King James Bible after 100 years of attack. You know, there's a verse of scripture where it says, this is my covenant with Jacob. The words that I speak unto thee shall not depart out of thy mouth, or out of the mouth of thy seed, or out of the mouth of thy seed from this generation forever. And that refers to the Jewish Bible, particularly that the Jews have, the Hebrew Masoretic text. But you know, there's another meaning you can put on it too that is true, because James is simply a translation of the word Jacob. And so it's saying the same thing as, this is my covenant with James. The words I speak unto thee shall not depart out of thy mouth. Same thing. And so 400 years goes by, and the thing just keeps right on going. And then the Bible says another scripture verse, that thou mightest know how thou hast to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. A pillar upholds the house. The ground is what the house is sitting on. And so the truth is not the church. The truth is God's word. but the true churches down through the ages have held the Word of God. And the Koine Greek Church was preserved in the by the Paulicians, a group that was all over the in Armenia and then spread all over, even into France and all over Europe. And they had had 150,000 of them murdered. And Queen Theodora said, don't copy the scripture. And yet today we find more of the common Koine Greek text of the New Testament, which was copied by them from that period of time than almost any other time. And they had got it traced back to the apostles of Jesus. And then you have another group called the Waldensians, and they go back to the time of the apostles also. They call them after Peter Walden, but they were there all the way back to the time of the apostles. Now, we, in this program, we defend the King James Bible, and we have books out to defend it. Tremendous books are written. And one of the latest that came out is Bible Versions Secrets Exposed by Jack McElroy. Bible Version Secrets Exposed by Jack McElroy. And you can get this on Amazon, or you can call him up at 978-425-4055. 978-425-4055 or 478-425-6116. 978-425-6116. And you can get this. Now, a lot of times, well-known individuals will promote these modern versions, and it has every one of these modern versions and shows you the problems. And when you read this book, and you can check these things out for yourself, and you see the corruption that is involved and how bad these translations are. Now, people say, you hear all the time, the Greek text. Every translation is based on a different Greek text. And you see how bad they are. Now, I want to also mention this, that not only are these translations bad, but there's another book that we've talked about many times, Hazardous Materials by Dr. Ripplinger. And in this book, it talks about the people that put out these translations and what they believed, and it showed what they believed, how many of them are unbelievers. They don't even believe. They believe that the originals sometimes have errors in them, and they're modernists and all kinds of people. And yet evangelicals will promote these same books. And that's a book it tells about. And then we have another book, Which Version is God's Word? That book, Which Version is God's Word, is another book, and it shows the documented evidence for the readings of the King James. A lot of times people say that's not in the originals, or that's not right, and that's not based. And this book is just loaded by evidences through the ages for the readings of the authorized King James Bible by Floyd Nolan Jones. Once again, you can get this on Amazon. And these are books that Bible believers need to know, need to have, and they will answer anything that is brought up against the authorized King James Bible. I have studied this for years, and for 30 years I've read every book I could, pro and con, and it sure made a believer out of me, and that's why I believe today, through reading the scriptures, even apart from these books, the scriptures of any Bible, even the corrupt ones, point to the King James Bible as the perfect preserved Word of God. And God said he would preserve them. Now, before we go on, I'm going to have Brother Davis. He's going to talk about science in the Bible, in the King James Bible. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Bruce. And again, good to be on with you today. And just a reminder, too, the books that Bruce was mentioning, if you go to whereisgodsword.com, that's whereisgodsword.com, there's links to a number of those books and materials there as well. So you can find that out and more about Bruce, listen to some past programs at whereisgodsword.com. Well, I wanted to share something here today, and, you know, we're leaving autumn behind, and by the looks of things today, winter's fast on its way here. Had some snow coming up through here, but change of seasons, people notice ants come into their houses. You ever see that? Ants come into the house, and sometimes when it gets really hot outside or dry outside, different things will cause them to come in, and no matter what you do, you just can't seem to get rid of them sometimes. They just keep coming back. I know when my wife and I were church planting in the Samoan Islands, one of the biggest problems that we had to deal with insects was not the giant cockroaches or the giant centipedes or any number of other things. Even the mosquitoes were more manageable. It was the ants. They were relentless. And in Proverbs chapter 6, there's a passage here. I was sharing this with our church just the other day, last Sunday. In Proverbs 6, verse 6, he says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." And looking at that thing, there's two things in that and we find that leaps out as Solomon was writing here. And Solomon was very wise. God gave him a great deal of wisdom, and he was a very astute student of nature, very observant. But there's one thing that he says here about the ant. He says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways." A lot of people read by that, and they don't catch that. You know, generally speaking, when somebody writes about something generically, they'll say, well, consider the ant, consider his ways, or, you know, look at this, that, or the other, and consider his ways. But it says specifically her, and it repeats that there about how she's wise and provideth her meat in the harvest, gather her food in the harvest. And this female attribute to ants. And a lot of people did not realize this until relatively recently, that generally speaking, when you see an ant, you're seeing a female. The males are very rare. Generally, the only time that you see the males is a time when they need to start a new colony, and a number of the ant eggs, the queen lays eggs just constantly. That's basically her main job, is to lay eggs. And by giving the queen certain food at a certain time, she'll lay some eggs that turn into males, and then some other eggs that will turn into future queens. And that's, if you've ever seen where a swarm of ants fly up out of the ground or something, that's in order to provide the males and the queens so that they can mate and then produce another colony somewhere. And that's on a rare occasion. But mostly what you see is a line of ants just coming and going. Anybody that's ever seen a line of ants going to the sugar bowl or something like that? We had a line of ants in Samoa one time. It went out of our trash can, down to the floor, across the kitchen floor, into the hallway, down the length of the house to the back bedroom, and then out through a crack in the wall in the back bedroom. And we were in the tropics, so there was all kinds of openings in the house. And it was about a half inch or so wide, and it was like a super highway of ants coming and going. It wasn't just one or two ants in a row. It was just like a bustling super highway during rush hour. And they were relentless. And they're all females. Now, how did Solomon know that they're all females? You know, it just, most people could never tell the difference between a male and a female ant, but they're all females, and the Bible says that. The King James is correct. It says, "Consider the ant, consider her ways, provideth her meat in the summer, gather her food in the harvest." And then this admonition to the ant, the industriousness, the busyness of the ant. You know, we have the expression a busy bee or busy as a bee, and we ought to use busy as an ant, really. It's not alliterated, but it's the same thing. It says, "Having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth their meat in summer, gathereth their food in the harvest." Ants are some of the most incredibly organized insects on earth. There's more ants. Biomass, meaning the total weight of all the ants, would probably exceed that of all the people in the world. And people do amazing things, but we have to have people draw plans and give instructions. Ants have none of that. God has put in the ant the ability to herd aphids and take them from one plant to the other, like we herd cattle, and to milk them for the honeydew, the sap that goes through the aphid and passes through the aphid. The ants groom them and protect them and watch over them and herd them and take them from plant to plant so they can collect that honeydew, that sticky sap that gets on your car when you're underneath a tree that has aphids, and they use that for food. There's leafcutter ants that cut leaves and they take them down into their colonies, and they have certain chambers where they put them up to grow a fungus on them to provide food. And then they take the leaves when they're done and discard them in trash chambers. It's highly organized. Then there's soldier ants that protect the colony and all these things. And then they know when to feed the ant, the queen ant, the right food in order to produce males so they can start another colony. All of that, nobody tells them how to do it. There's no instructions. They don't have any guidebook or anything. It's all the instinct that God put in them. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. What an example. Contrast that with the sluggard. We need to be busy like the ant while we have time. You know, the harvest is going to be over right now. Jesus said the fields are white unto harvest. We need laborers in the harvest, don't we? To go just like the ant and harvest while we can.
Thank you for that. Those are always interesting. And, you know, the moral of the story is the Bible says, in thy word do I trust.
Mm-hmm.
Says, cursed is everyone that putteth confidence in man. And so we're not to listen to these Bible correctors. They say that they believe in the originals, which they don't have, and they don't know what they say. But we have the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And then another place it says, the word of God is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. It's something that we have today. We have it in the King James Bible, which the Bible tells us. But, you know, one of the reasons, too, we believe the Bible is the word of God is because of prophecy, because God predicts the future. And I want to read from Isaiah 26, verse 12. It says here, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works. Now, that is, God gives us peace with God when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose from the dead, and he lives. And when whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We ask him for forgiveness and salvation, repenting of our sins. For he has wrought all of our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us. And so there's been all kinds of dictators, and it's talking to particularly towards Israel. They've had Pharaoh as a dictator, king over them. They've had Nebuchadnezzar. They've had the Roman Caesars and so on. But by thee only will we make mention of thy name. So now we only want Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. He's the only trustworthy one. He's the one that liveth and abideth forever and is alive. They are dead. See, all the other religious leaders, they're dead. The dictators are dead. The religious leaders are dead. They're all dead, but they shall not live. They are deceased. That's another word for dead. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them. And so all these big shot dictators and so on, they brag and they boast in their day, but they all, the worms are eating their body. And it says, and made all their memory to perish. And after a while, nobody's even going to remember that they existed, although they ruled over many people. Then it says, thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Now, that's talking about Israel, particularly that they were in bondage and in slavery. But then they came back out of Babylon, and they were increased at that time. O Lord, thou hast increased the nation. And then after they came back, they multiplied once again, taken away as slaves and then brought back. Then it says, thou art glorified. Well, God was glorified in Israel when Jesus was on the earth. And he did incredible miracles. When he went to a funeral, he turned it into a resurrection. And people that were born blind, he opened the eyes of the blind. And just like God fed the children of Israel in the desert, Jesus fed the multitudes. Because of his power and his glory. So God was glorified in Jesus. And then after that, and this is prophetic, it says, thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Now, Now it's removed. Israel was removed at that time all over the world. They were scattered over the world. But also, the knowledge of God had been removed all over the earth. God raised the Jewish people up for the purpose to be a light to the Gentiles. And that really was fulfilled after Jesus came and was glorified in Israel, because thousands of Jewish people all over the world told the knowledge of Jesus to the whole world. And it says in the Bible, in two places in the New Testament, everybody on earth heard it. They went out. Israel was bilingual, and they learned about Jesus in Jerusalem, and then they went out, and the thousands of Jewish people that had seen Jesus, had seen him rise from the dead and knew about Jesus, they told the story to everybody on the earth. Now, then it jumps on. After it says, unto all the earth ends, they were moved to the ends of the earth. It says, Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. Now, that refers to the time of Jacob's trouble. And Moses, referring to this, he said, when you are come into tribulation in the latter days, he says, if you will seek God with all your heart, mind, and soul, you will find him. And that's talking about the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob left the land. And then he came back to the land. And when he came back, he was met by Esau, who tried to wipe him out. And Jacob did everything to buy him off. But finally, a man shows up, and Jacob wrestles with the man. He was changed. His name was now called Israel. And Jacob said, I have seen God face to face. That man was none other than God himself, Jacob said. He was God, and so Jacob's problems were solved, and he made peace with Esau at that time, and he went into the land. And so in the future, it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob comes back to the land just as God promised. Israel's back there, and now the nations of the world are coming against him, and he's fought war after war, and they have tried to wipe him out, and finally the nations of the world will come against him. And at that time, just as that man who was literally God showed up to Jacob, Jesus, who is the man, will show up against the armies of the world, will destroy them, and he will take over this world and bring peace to Israel. It says, when this time of trouble comes, they poured out a prayer when thy chastening is upon them, and the country will be overrun. At that time, they will pray for the Lord, for God to help them, and then Jesus will show up. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pang, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. So this is what they realize. Trouble just comes, and it's like a woman having a child in pain. And so they're going through this right now, but it will even increase. And then it says, they cry to, they are in thy sight, O Lord. They recognize God as their. We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Now, it's saying here, they're realizing that all that they have done to achieve power and to achieve peace and to straighten out the world, it's done no good whatsoever. In the end, everything has stayed the same. And then you have the next prophecy, the time of Jacob's trouble, and then it says, thy dead men shall live, referring also to Israel coming back to the land, but more than that, referring to the rapture. Thy dead men shall live together with my dead body. And every one of us that are saved, they put the dead body in the tomb, they put it in the ground, but the power of Jesus that raised people from the dead when he was alive will raise every one of us that are his people from the dead. And it says, shall they arise? Thy dead body, shall they arise? Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Jesus, when he calls us from the grave, we will come out, the earth will take us out. And then it says, come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. Jesus said, if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself and shut the doors about thee. We will be in heaven for a short time. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation. That's the time of God's wrath on the earth, the time of indignation. And then, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. So we're heading in the earth, in heaven, God's people, we're raptured, taken into heaven, hidden there. And then God's wrath comes out on the earth. And then it says that in this passage, the Lord cometh out of the earth in that day to rule over the world. It's all in line,
you
right
have been
in
listening
Isaiah
to Where
26.
Is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. To learn more on this topic and to contact Bruce, visit his website at whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. That's whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. There you will find a vast array of resources on this topic, including copies of previous programs, articles by Bruce, and links to other recommended materials. Bruce is also available to speak to your church or organization. Again, that web address is whereisgodsword.maplenoel.us. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the faithful listeners in this area.